You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Casual Friday, July 29th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar, and this is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, Cliff Schechter, Chris Rosen, the Screaming Majority with their latest, and even a bonus track from Jimmy Reefer Cake. He was stung by some wasps, so we're going to go to an oldie but goodie from Jimmy Reefer Cake. If anybody can guess what the theme of that song would be, you will win, well, really nothing. Wow! Let's get Cliff Schechter on the phone right now. The past 24 hours, of course, have been absolutely unbelievable. I can't hear Cliff yet, so he should be coming through. Why don't you pull up my computer? Cliff, are you there?
No.
Oh, okay. Cliff?
Yes.
Cliff Schechter, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, let's play his theme song. Sorry about that, Cliff.
Don't worry, buddy. I'm
Wait,
so
that's
okay.
Not it.
You have so many theme songs.
I know. Here we go. Here's Cliff Schechter's theme song.
Schechter Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. If you want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter Libertas LLC.com.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Schechter. This has been... What a crazy 24 hours.
Insanity, you could call it, couldn't you?
Yes, I would say insanity. Let's just recap. I know there's a couple of stories that I want to talk to you about because they're completely in your wheelhouse. Yeah, Cliff, what's going on there? How come I can hear me on your phone?
I don't know. That's weird. I didn't hear my theme song when you played it.
Oh, you didn't hear my theme song? You didn't?
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me call you right back.
Okay.
All right. We're going to call him back. Why would he be able to not hear the theme song? He shouldn't.
Oh, I think I...
We'll try that again, ladies and gentlemen. It's Casual Friday. What do you expect?
Let's just pretend he was never on the phone.
Yeah. Cliff, great to hear you.
Hey, are we good now?
I still hear a little bit of an echo coming back. It's strange. I'm not exactly sure why that's the case.
I don't know.
I'll try that again. Is there anything you can do on your end, Matt?
Let me go switch to home line and see if that works.
We're getting a weird echo. Oh, not hearing the echo on the stream. All right, we'll live with it for now. So Cliff, let's walk through this, okay?
And sure.
I should tell folks that I made a call out last, or I guess earlier today, for suggestions on jokes. You know, you're almost obligated at a time like this when John Bonnaire has been so ineffective to make Bonnaire jokes.
In other words, the fact that poor Bonnaire's flag is at half mast right now.
Let's see where we can come up here. I've got Cutis into.
He's not really as much a Boehner as he's a Demi Boehner.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, okay, go ahead.
Demi Boehner, I like that. I said he unfortunately encountered Cutis interruptus.
It was very nice, Sam.
Thank you. It was suggested on Twitter to me, but I can't forgive me, folks. I'm just to remember these off the top of my head. We also had Caucus Interruptus.
Nice.
Also, I heard Electile Dysfunction and Premature Calculation. That was his problem on his voting powers. My buddy Josh Orton comes in with Bonaire pulls out.
Oh no, you're ripping into Mr. Orton?
Yes, there you go.
It wasn't me, Josh, it was him.
Stephen Sherrill, former Majority Report producer as well. Sometimes the caucus seems to have a mind of its own.
We really could do the entire show just on this.
I think, it's Casual Friday, folks. Let's be honest. I mean, this is what a Fridays are for. So walk us through this. Yesterday, Bonaire talks about the Bonaire plan, and he apparently there were veins in the caucus that would not. Oh, Jesus. That would not.
Well, everything was firing in the right direction in the caucus.
That's right.
There was a vast deference in the caucus.
He counted his chickens before skin. I don't know. We've got this. We have been speculating all along that Boehner just had no ability to control his caucus, as it were, and he was claiming he had the votes to pass the Bonaire package and send it to the House. And this is all part of the how are we going to get these Tea Partiers to allow for the full faith and credit of the United States to stay intact. And he pushed the vote. First, the vote was scheduled for 6 p.m. because they didn't want to freak out the stock markets. They knew from the get-go that this was not going to pass the Senate, so it was just simply a waste of time anyways. And even under that circumstance, even though they had brought this was Boehner 2.0, because the first one was dead on arrival, they had canceled the vote because they couldn't get anybody to vote for it.
It is rather amazing, isn't it? I guess I don't have to do much walking through because you've done the whole thing. I mean, I sent out something, you know, this morning on Twitter just to kind of, remind, certain Wall Street types that, you know, when you unleash the beast, this is what you get. You know, they thought, if they pulled the pants down a little bit, so to speak.
That's
and
right.
Really let the Boehner, get fully erect, with lots of pressure. From teabaggers below, that would work out great for all these Wall Street guys. Turns out right now already there's starting to be some turmoil in markets because people are getting scared shitless because it turns out you can't control these guys. They're effing nuts.
No, you can't.
Who knew?
And so now the latest is that they are going to attach, this is what they call basically a bill sweetener. They're going to attach an amendment, they're going to change this bill to include a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. Now, Cliff,
the document that they revere so much that they're only ready to attach amendments to about once a week.
Now,
right to life amendment, no gay marriage amendment. Now we get this too, huh?
You are far more educated than I am, Cliff. Walk us through what it takes to amend the Constitution of the United States. Remember now, we're dealing with this debt ceiling. The deadline is Tuesday. What does it take to amend the Constitution?
So tell me something, though. I got to ask this.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even see this part. Are they literally have in this bill that they would have, in other words, they would have to, for this to happen, the Constitution would have to be amended by Tuesday?
That is correct. Now, give me a sense of what's involved in amending the Constitution. Do you know?
Yeah, I do know. I mean, if I remember my civics classes, let's go for it, and people can correct me if I fuck it up, because I may. You need, as I remember, two-thirds of both houses of Congress have to vote to do it. Or if I'm correct, two-thirds of the state legislatures have to ask Congress to call a convention of some sort. So I think to propose it, you got to do it either one of those ways.
Right, that's right.
And then, oh, wow, look, I'm getting it right so far. And then for ratification, important also, if I remember, not only two-thirds, now you got to go up it and get three-quarters of the state legislatures to approve it.
That's right.
Or the conventions they have, three-quarters of the conventions in the states have to approve it. So that's what I remember from the classes I took. It may have changed under Scalia, so that now you only need five Supreme Court justices. But that's at least what I remember.
Now, I put out a call. If anybody knew the average length of time that it takes, nobody's been able to come up with the average quite yet. But it's significant. It seems to be significantly higher than two business days. To do all that. The first, and this is coming via Matt Ortega.
Another very intelligent gentleman.
Very intelligent. You can follow him on Matt Ortega at Matt Ortega on Twitter. The first through 10th amendments to the Constitution took 2 years to ratify. The 11th, 1 year. The 12th, 6 months. 6 months. The 13th, 10 months. The 14th, 2 years. The 15th, 1 year. The 16th, 4 years. The 17th, 2 years. The 18th, 2 years.
The 19th, since the time of Eve.
The 19th, 1 year. The 20th, 11 months. The 21st, 10 months. The 22nd, 4 years. The 23rd, 9 months. The 24th, 18 months. Months. The 25th, 2 years. The 26th amendment to the Constitution, 4 months to ratify. The 27th, 203 years. Now, how much longer is 203 years than two business days?
Well, I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I'm thinking when I hear all that the average is going to come out to somewhat more than two business days.
Yeah, no,
but maybe if you throw in a weekend, you know, I mean, as I said, I'm not a mathematician. Maybe if you work Saturdays, let's say.
That's right. You got to take Saturday
after
off. God's day.
And, right. After handling the snakes at your church, if you're in the GOP caucus, you might be able to, maybe take an hour. Although it is God's day, and God may still be angry at you for it, so that is worth considering.
And of course, we also have to, even if you look at either the median or the average, I think it's definitely going to be longer than, let's just call it 4 days. I mean, God gives a special dispensation, to work on the Christian Sabbath to get this done. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Math, not a math major, but everything that you're saying seems to tell me that that this group of wackadoos is doing what they normally do, which is not paying any attention to reality. So I guess they've added the constitutional amending process to taxes, abortion, birth control, budgets in general, gun use, drug use in the drug war, and just about everything else that they believe in as being in fairyland.
Now, if there is, and right now, we have limited technological abilities here, and I'm afraid to sort of stream the news right now because I don't want to get disconnected from you. But it seems to me, if there is not a graphic on every cable news outlet right now showing those numbers that I just read off and saying this is an effing joke, they should all have their licenses revoked. I mean, this is such a joke at this point. It's just beyond imagination. The idea, and as much as you and I have complained about the president and the leadership in Congress, the Democratic leadership, in terms of how they rhetorically have accepted the demise of Keynesian economics, as much as we have criticized them for, this is such a perfect example of the fact that there is no such thing as balance here. There is no such thing as compromise. That we are working with just an obscene insanity in the Republican Party now.
Right. You know, there's so many ways you can go with this, and so many things to talk about. I remember reading, and again, I read this, it could be incorrect, but that actually that Henry Kissinger, for his dissertation and his PhD, wrote something about democracy and how when, you know, the whole thing about democracy is that you've got laws, but you also have certain traditions, certain norms that are upheld. And once one major group of people, I think he was referring to the French Revolution and what occurred over there when he wrote it, once one major sort of player, you know, and group, party, whatever you like to call it, stops paying attention to those norms and those rules, you know, democracy gets into serious trouble. Because, you know, the whole premise behind it is that you've got same groups of people that have differing philosophies that will sit down at the end of the day and figure things out and do what's best for the country. And the problem here is we don't have that anymore. We have one party, a major political party, in what's supposed to be, you know, right now is the strongest, certainly militarily, country on the earth, quickly receding economically because of said party. You know, that's controlled by crazy people that hear voices and think they're you know, probably think that they're medieval witches and God knows else what else they fantasize about themselves and so I mean that's a serious problem. I mean, even the sane people in the Republican Party, which mind you, those are people that only 20 years ago were considered conservatives.
Right.
Let's say like a Dick Lugar or someone like that, end up getting cowed by the insane people.
You know,
and once that's the problem is that there are people here that view the Democrats and view anything to the left of these are like the Birchers that used to call Eisenhower a communist. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead.
It's
sorry.
Interesting. Yeah. No. I mean, it's interesting because you know this point, that thing you brought up by Kissinger really I think to a certain extent. There is an argument, and you know, I want to get to the news, but this is an interesting conversation, that I think that this is a problem that our society has had, it seems to me, over the past 30 years. I mean, you know, let me give you an example. 20 years ago or something, when I graduated college, maybe it was a little longer, I traveled to Australia and, you know, had an opportunity to go to a 4-day cricket test match in Melbourne. And I remember them telling me a story, some guys down there, of a test match. And in cricket, apparently, there's no time limit. The 4-day test was sort of a way of making, you know, cricket a more palatable sport because there was no
time. It's like baseball and crack.
Right, I mean, right. Like, I mean, there's no, you know, baseball, there's only a certain amount of innings. And there was one 4-day test match where the Australian team, instead of pitching the ball in because they wanted to win, they basically were doing a four corners. Okay, they started to roll the ball in to make it impossible. I don't know if it was the West Indian team they were playing, making it impossible for the other team essentially to catch up, and they were running out the clock. And the 70,000 people in the stadium of this cricket match, Australians, started booing. Despite the fact that they are so intense about this sport and wanting to beat the West Indies, they started booing because what their team was doing, although it was perfectly legal in the context of the rules, was lacking a certain moray, a certain level of ethics. And that is a concept that seems to be completely gone in this country. We've seen it with professions over the years. We've seen it in the legal institutions, in the medical institutions. We've seen
it in academia, where people just make stuff up sometimes, yeah.
We see it in journalism, and now it seems to have gone full force into our legislative bodies. This idea that even though it's within the context of the rules, there are certain things you don't do. There are certain ethics. There are certain standards that you maintain. Otherwise, society falls apart, and
people used to be shamed, you know, feel shame when they did that. I mean, I feel like I'm looking at this stuff every day. If you don't mind, just quickly, because what you're saying is right on.
Exactly,
that metaphor is so perfect, Sam. As you know, I mean, I work with, as you know, I work on something where. With a big trial lawyer, a guy named Ed Blizzard, that's taken on, you know, a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, DePew, who's given people these hips that are making them sick, giving them cancer. In fact, you conducted an interview with him way back when.
Right.
Well, since that time I started working with him, I'm steering more recently these stories of doctors you know, it used to be you went to your doctor, I would think, and you believed that there was, they would be shamed by doing some of the things they're doing now. Now, they've got 400 doctors. This is a subsidiary of one pharmaceutical company. All right, so you can only imagine how many more there are like this out there. They have 400 doctors on their payroll. So these are guys that are expecting a check from them. A number of these guys went on their website and tried to claim to people that getting huge amounts of cobalt and chromium put into your system, into your bloodstream, that cobalt and chromium were, quote, essential nutrients. Well, essential nutrients, yes, one in one-millionth of the level that they're giving it to you at. But there was a time where a doctor would say, I make my living as a doctor, and to go out and to lie to people who are patients who are suffering for a nice little extra paycheck, they just wouldn't do it. It's just something that wouldn't be done. They actually took that oath seriously the way legislators took their constitutional oath seriously and the way lawyers took theirs. And that's where your point, you know, that's what I was getting at too. I was in D.C. like a week ago. This guy who's a friend and a friend of the progressive movement named Charlie Fink has produced this play called Who's Your Baghdaddy, which, by the way, is hysterical, too. As you can imagine, it's a musical on how we got into Iraq. And they go back and they trace, you know, 2001, 2002, 2003, the whole, you know, curveball, you know, this supposed Iraqi source that was giving us all this info. Turns out the guy was like a criminal and a liar and was making things up, and they knew it. But they were pushing it. It's almost like once this guy started saying certain things, there were all sorts of people that would benefit from it. The guy, you know, who was interviewing him in Germany who could say, I got major information out of this guy. And the guy in the U.S. who felt like we need to be fighting for freedom and this gives us an excuse. And all these individuals, it was individuals that failed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That chose to put themselves ahead of what was good for the country. And granted, this musical made me laugh my butt off, but the point being that you can't watch it and laugh at some of the ridiculousness of it while also realizing, you know, we went off a friggin' cliff there. We went to a war based completely on these fabrications and lies. And that's what this, I mean, it, you know, and the media didn't sit there and say, this is crap. You know, there's a guy, you know, that we're relying on the word of this guy. Like, the media sat there and said, fair and balanced. You say this, I say that. You like chocolate, I like vanilla. You like rainy days, I like sunny days. They're all equal viewpoints, and that's what we're getting here on this day. They're acting like there's a debate over Keynesianism. There's a debate, and it goes back to all this again with what you're saying, because again, the media was another profession where people used to take that oath seriously, and they don't anymore. And I feel like this has all been part of a right-wing project, you know, when the Powell memo and the creation of these think tanks to inject this propaganda into our system to essentially, they knew that if people relied on the truth, they'd lose.
There's
what do you do?
Fundamental breakdown in just the concept of professionalism. I mean, because we look at these professions and we have, as a society, have relied upon this. I mean, I remember, you know, I come from a family of lawyers. There were like eight lawyers in my grandfather's generation. And for them, it was an avocation. You didn't make that much money. You made a good upper middle class thing, but you never were going to become some type of baron. But the payment was in part just this notion that you were following an avocation, that you had some some greater professional ethics. And it just seems like the entire the entire professional class has been completely corrupted by this concept of winning, which ultimately ends up being money. So Andrew Breitbart is no different than Walter Cronkite at this point.
That's exactly right. And the worst among them, are the big business folks. Because back in the 50s, 60s, whatever, before this corruption of them and before, you know, the Chamber of Commerce and this infamous Powell memo written by the former Supreme Court Justice, you know, before they started advocating in the way that they do now and corrupting the process, you know, there was this sense even among those who were CEOs and in upper business, you know, positions of business, that you had a responsibility to the community around you, that you shouldn't be making 400 times what the workers were at your company were making. Back then, they made about 30 times what the workers were making. You know, I think even the 400 times now is that number is outdated. That was from a few years ago. I think it's more like 600 or 800 times what their workers were making. There just were things you didn't do, and obviously there are always people that did them, but those were considered. Those people were looked at as
they were pariahs. They were pariahs by society. And, you know, it's interesting because I interviewed a guy named William Lazanik for Ring of Fire. I think it's going to run this week. It may run next week, and I'm going to try and run it on the Majority Report. He is a guy, involved in I can't remember the organization he's involved with. It's an academic business organization. And he basically just walked me through. It was a little bit dry, but it was fascinating how the payment of stock options to CEOs has fundamentally corrupted the functioning of corporations in this country, where they used to be entities that would produce goods and services, and that was their bottom line. And the payment of stock options, compensation in the form of stock options to CEOs, has changed these businesses from an entity that produces a product or a service to essentially a financial instrument that will, instead of spending money on R&D, will take extra cash they have and do stock buybacks to drive up the price of the stocks, because it's as if these CEOs and board of directors, the upper management of these companies, are actually involved in a second side cottage business, which is the one that's going to pay them all the money, and that is essentially making money off the stock they own in the company, and their decisions are based on driving up the stock price rather than actually producing goods and services. And
right, the salary is not where, you know, it's the bonuses and the stock options where the money is. So, you know, the salaries are often not even, you know, are big, but that's where, like, the amounts of money that become somewhat sickening come in.
It's just mind-boggling, and this whole exercise has just really, I think, it's just, there is a gaping wound in the psyche of America, and I don't know what it's going to take to close it at this point. I mean, I have no idea where this whole thing is going to go. We know that the bill, if they pass one, if Bonaire is able to close the deal and pass something, it's going to die as soon as it leaves the House, and then I guess we'll get some so-called compromise bill, which will be fairly horrible for the country at a time where the GDP has come to a complete standstill, where our economy is, the growth is just essentially become negligible. We will cut. It's just a matter of how much. There'll be no redistribution of the wealth that is in the hands of the incredibly wealthy plutocrats, which is just sitting there, not helping the economy at all. It is,
it's insane. And if people want to know that where our president drives me crazy, that's where he drives me crazy, which is, not that that's, this is the only place, there's probably more than one, but in trying to pretend that we're still living in this 1950s, 1960s world where you had a Republican Party where half their caucus at least were like Eisenhower and Nelson Rockefeller, were people that actually sometimes went to the left, certainly of many of the segregationist Democrats, that, you know, LBJ could get civil rights passed by getting a whole large number of Republican votes, for example. You know, we're not in that world, and Obama, for whatever reason, can't seem to grasp that. And, you know, so if that's where he drives me nuts, because right now, there's a number of ways you can get this done without Congress, not the least of which is the 14th Amendment. And they won't do it.
Right.
They still grasp onto this. I mean, there are times there's a time when Lincoln knew that there were people you weren't going to be able to compromise with. There's a time when George Washington knew it, and FDR knew it, and Teddy Roosevelt knew it, and any of the people that have been in presidents during very important and scary times in this nation's history. And I don't understand why Obama, especially as he looks back to Lincoln as his idol, can't seem to get this. We're in one of those times. Democracy has gone off the rails. Again, you know, plutocrats have taken over things. Crazy people are in control of a whole party. There's no negotiating with them.
All right,
they won't do it. They won't even negotiate with their own leaders. They're crazy.
I wanted to talk to you about this Nahisi Coates piece in the New York Times about Obama and his referencing Lincoln and about the way that he perceives the left. We're not going to have time for that, because there's two stories I want to get to, because as soon as I saw these stories, I said, I got to talk to Cliff about this, because these are completely in Cliff's wheelhouse. And I know that you do a lot of work on both these stories.
What the first is that the Norwegian shooter, the terrorist Anders Behring Breivik, this this right wing anti-Muslim, anti-multiculturalist Christian fundamentalist who killed 76 people. Apparently, he has written in his 1,500-page manifesto that he needed huge clips for his 223 caliber rifle. He needed clips that had 30 round ammunition clips, and they're illegal in Norway. You can only buy a clip that has three bullets in it because presumably if you're going out and hunt, you know, whatever it is that you're hunting, the deer, the antelope, wherever the children play, whatever it is.
By the time you get to the 18th bullet, you probably, if you're any kind of a hunter, wouldn't need many more.
Well, you wouldn't need any more, and they'd be gone. You know, and so he bought these.
In the good old U.S. of A.
In the good old U.S. of A. He was contemplating buying them in Sweden, but they were too expensive. So he bought them in the USA. And you know as well as I do, probably better than I do, you work on this issue, that you would not have been able to buy these high-capacity gun clips under the 1994 assault weapons ban, which expired in 2004, which under a Republican-controlled House, Senate, and President was not reauthorized. There's been an attempt since the Gabrielle Giffords shooting to bring this back. Talk to me about this, because I know you do work on this.
Yeah, and there's a few important parts of this issue. One is that the right immediately will lie and throw out, and this is where we've gotten in trouble, what you and I have talked about, which is the death of truth and the death of shame, is that these people will throw out statistics that are bogus. I mean, there's a guy on the right, John Lott, who was a supposed academic at the University of Chicago, who's been now proven to have made up numbers, he claimed there were surveys he took, he never took them. You know, again, he had a fake online persona of a woman, by the way, which is kind of funny, named Mary Roche, that used to tell everybody that she was a student of his and how wonderful and great he was until they found out that was him who was doing it. And this guy has pushed out all these fake stats. But if you go to the real stats, you'll see, for example, in Virginia, where a study was done, and then I'll show you that during the time of that assault weapons ban, the number of murders that were perpetrated with assault weapons went way down. And there's a reason for that. And, the right will come back to you again and say, oh, but people can get guns illegally and all that. Well, of course, that can happen. But you see, when you make it harder for them to do it, when you make it illegal, when you make the gun then goes up and is much more expensive to get, you've got federal agents watching for people buying them, so they often get caught doing it. The world's a different world. It's not to say nobody can get an illegal gun, but you're making that process that much more difficult and that much more likely that somebody who's intending on killing a lot of people gets busted in the process. So that is the first important thing that you, because you brought the assault weapons ban, and yes, it saved a lot of lives, no matter what crazy people on the right say. They're just simply lying. Secondly, it fits into this whole other narrative that you and I are talking about, and again, the death of shame and the rest, because the NRA, in their own way, is exactly like the Chamber of Commerce. They've taken an organization, the NRA was once an organization, believe it or not, that actually was dedicated to teaching people how to use their guns safely and sport shooting and the rest. In something called the Cincinnati Revolt, in, I think it was 1977, they were taken over by a bunch of crazy hardliners and who wanted to get involved in the political process and fight back, and because people were trying to pass sane gun control laws after Kennedy and Martin Luther King were killed, we did that. Well, it's evolved from there to the point where the NRA board, you can go to the Violence Policy Center and see studies they've done. They'll show you how people from Brunel's and all these other gun companies are on the NRA board. It's kind of the point where the NRA has melded into big business. They're nothing but a front group. They're arms dealers. That's the easiest way to understand them. It has nothing to do with the Second Amendment and people, because that's not in any danger. People going and wanting to go and hunt, that's not in any danger. It's all about the fact that gun usage has fallen. In America, I think they're only guns in a third of the households now. It used to be a lot more. And so they need now, they've got a smaller market, so they need to convince that smaller core market to keep buying more guns. Right. So unless you produce ever scarier, more crazy guns that can kill larger groups of people and do more insane stuff, and unless you prevent any regulation like the assault weapons ban or background checks to stop criminals from getting guns at gun shows or the rest, that also, in the end, if I buy a gun, Sam, or you buy a gun, or I'm in Al-Zawahiri buys a gun, it's all still profit for the NRA. And I'm sorry, but they don't give a damn. If they gave a damn, they'd look at what happened in Tucson and in what happened just now in Norway. They don't care. It's money. And money to them is worth all these people dying. And so that's what it's about. That's what, it's just another sickening example after what we've lived through in Tucson and Virginia Tech and Columbine and the rest. I can go on and on, smaller cases people haven't heard of something that maybe would have been somewhat preventable. You know, maybe they would have caught this guy if it was illegal and he tried to get these, you know, get this, if he'd had to get these clips illegally, maybe he would have been caught in the process. But instead, we provide this nice market for him here, and I'm sure some very nice gun executives got very wealthy off of, you know, or at least made a couple bucks off of what he bought. You know, God bless them. I hope they sleep well tonight.
Is there a site that people should go to check out this, if they're interested in learning more about this?
When it comes to this specific thing with the Norway killer, I don't have a specific site for them to go to. I work with a group called Mayors Against Illegal Guns. And I would just, I would encourage people to just look into the organization and see what we do. It's all about background checks and stopping terrorists and criminals from getting their hands on guns. People like this madman in Norway. It has, nothing to do with what the NRA will claim it's about. It's simply about that. And so I would, again, you know, encourage people to go look up Mayors Against Illegal Guns and see how you can get involved.
All right, now quickly, because I got to get to Chris Rosen here. There was one other story. Governor Christie had an asthma attack. And this is a wonderful opportunity for him, isn't it?
It can be. You know, I'm doing some work with a group, Environment New Jersey, and we've got a petition up. People can go. There's a great piece put up by Adam Lambert, a great guy who's written a lot, at Blue Jersey and at Daily Coast in the past, and I would encourage people to go read this. It's at bluejersey.com, and it has all the links there to where you can go. And what we're doing is we're encouraging Chris Christie. He was diagnosed, that's the word that was evading me there, with asthma as a child, and right now you've got 192,000 children, we're talking about in New Jersey, who've been diagnosed. New Jersey has terrible air quality, as me, a former New Yorker, and you, a current New Yorker, know all about, Sam.
You can smell it on a windy day.
That's right. On a ride to Philadelphia, you might pass out. And so we're encouraging him to sign on to this clean air promise. And as I said, all the links you can find at Blue Jersey, so you can sign this petition and promise that you will devote yourself to holding up clean air instead of an assault on the Clean Air Act and the rest. And we're encouraging him to do it because, again, these are his constituents. Experience having to go to the hospital because of his asthma attack, that this is something that is, and more and more of us are being diagnosed with. I have asthma, and so I know what it is that he's had to deal with, and this is something that is preventable in some cases. A lot of this has to do with the quality of our air, and as we allow our air quality to get worse, there are going to be more and more cases of this. So I encourage everybody to go and sign this petition, and also you'll see a phone number there for Governor Christie's office. You might want to give them a call. In fact, I'll read it here, 609-292-6000. Give them a call. Let them know what you think about maybe Governor Christie signing on to this pledge so we can clean our air up a bit.
All right. Well, listen, Cliff, as always, fantastic talking to you. We'll talk to you again next week and appreciate your time. And we'll put those links up on the site.
Thanks so much, Sam. I appreciate it, buddy.
Cliff Schechter. All right. We're going to take a break. And we will talk to Chris Rosen when we come back.
big shot senior editor, eh? Here is your theme song. You sit in a dimly lit room.
I can hear you.
Watching movies and okay. You dress like a slob. Jimmy Reefer Cakes got to ask. You said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how did you get that job?
How did you get that job? Chris Rosen. I should tell folks that the Sammy Cam is down. We're not quite sure why. But bear with us. Hopefully you're getting some audio there. But, of course, you can listen to the audio stream and on the show. It's a shame because I really got into the how did you get that job theme song for Chris Rosen today. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chris Rosen. And, yes, we're going to be going over today. It's casual Friday. I don't even pay attention to the clock anymore.
How's it going, Sam?
It's going great, Chris. It's going really, really great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
How's it going with you?
It's going well. Thank you for asking.
You, I'm impressed. You're completely fully dressed today, at least from the
I have a shirt on.
From the waist up, which is always good. It's always difficult for me to carry this interview on when you show up on the video Skype device topless. That is always a distraction for me.
It is casual Friday. It is not shirt-free Friday.
Yes, I appreciate that. Believe me, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. So Chris, now what were the movies you suggested last week? Do you remember? Do you take any notes?
I remember. I don't take notes. I remember one was Happy Thank You More Please, which you shit on, and right. I cannot think of the other one at the time.
The other
at the
one
moment.
I believe was Inside Man.
No, it was The Paper.
Wait, who told me to watch
and do
Inside
the right
Man?
Thing and do the right thing because it was very hot.
Oh, you know what?
Inside Man is Spike Lee. I mean, you know, that's also Do the Right Thing. Same director.
Did you
watch Inside Man?
I did.
That's a good movie.
Eh.
Oh God, you hate everything.
I fell asleep. It was just so like, oh my gosh, I saw this when Bill Murray did this movie.
It was better when Bill Murray did it.
What was that called?
Quick Change.
And then,
that was a good one.
There was like four other different movies that Quick Change was a ripoff of, but at least Quick Change was funny.
Yeah, Quick Change was good.
This movie was just like, like as soon as they dropped the rabbi and they left him in the other room, like they knocked the rabbi and they left him in the other room. You don't do that. You keep all your prisoners in one area. It was just like, I see
bank robbing tips from Majority Report.
I just see the, you know, I could see through that movie in about 3 seconds. And
you should be an FBI maybe agent.
You know what? I've had this conversation. A buddy of mine. Is a
Darren Aronofsky?
No.
Oh.
He is a U.S. Attorney, and we've had this conversation about how like we both should have become FBI agents because you can retire like 20 years in. I'm too old now to become one.
You're like Danny Glover right now. You're too old for this shit.
It's so sad. Like the cultural cesspool in which you draw your references from is just sort of
like what? No one got that reference?
No, but I mean, just the idea that like what it was it crazy? What was the name of that movie? It was Mel Gibson, right?
Yeah, Lethal Weapon. Sam.
Lethal Weapon.
Was before everyone hated Mel Gibson, though.
You know, it's just like you know the idea that like we could have like a film reviewer on who's like who's somewhat erudite and references things that would educate us as opposed to sort of like.
Sam,
you know, you're just like when Justin Bieber, you know.
No, I didn't say Justin Bieber. I said goddamn Danny Glover.
What's the difference?
A huge difference, I would think, between Justin Bieber and Danny Glover.
Yes, I understand. There's an age difference, but they reside in the same place.
No, they
like,
don't.
Literally, I can have a more.
Danny Glover is an actor.
Cultural...
Justin Bieber is nothing.
Oh,
he's
Justin
a
Bieber
singer.
Will go into acting. Believe me.
It's just he was on that CSI episode, so I guess maybe you're right.
I feel dirty the fact that you know that.
I am up on things that are in pop culture, Sam.
Oh God.
So I wanted to give you blame. You think I suggest terrible
movies?
Talk
to Myla. I sit there. I talk to Myla the whole time, and all she's doing is talking to me about like Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez. And then I think, okay, good. I can go into work and I can have an adult conversation. And then I
you're the one who brought Justin Bieber.
I didn't even bring up Justin Bieber. I brought up Danny Glover. You were the one who all of a sudden has Justin Bieber on the brain.
Honestly, I don't know if there is a show out there that offers such a wide disparity between the interesting conversation I had with Cliff Schechter.
With me.
And then
Cliff Schechter. I know.
Jumping off of like.
I know. It's so good.
The world's tallest cliff is what
it's
it is.
It's so good. It's really good when you have me on. I want to. You mock me for terrible film choices. This has been tweeted at me like 2 weeks in a row. I want to get the name right. It's Lee Berger, one of your one of your listeners. Very nice. He's a fan. I think he's tweeted at me before.
He's a fan of yours?
Well, he's a fan of yours, okay. And I believe he's tweeted at me before. And he wants me to recommend to you on Netflix Instant Watch the movie Rubber, which I have not seen, but I will tell you what it's about.
Oh my gosh! Are you telling me that you actually looked it up?
Yeah,
where did you
I
find the
up.
Time? Weren't there? Wasn't there some huge? Didn't you have to corral like the box office numbers for the week? Or
well, no, I do that. I have time. I can multitask.
Did you not have the Squeakle?
I can multitask.
Press conference or something.
It was. I can multitask. Also, he left me a link in my Twitter, so it was easy to just click.
Right.
But the movie Rubber, Sam, you're gonna love this one. I think it's about a killer tire.
About what?
A killer tire.
A killer tire.
Like a car tire. Named Robert. And it's telepathic. And it blows people's heads up, I think, scanner style.
All right. I'll
watch. It's a horror movie / satire.
Well,
So you can watch that.
Nikki's out of town this weekend, so I get full rein. I don't have to watch, I don't have to sell her on anything, so... While the cat's away, the mouse will play, which means
you'll go to bed at 9.
I get to spend 2 hours trying to convince Myla it's time to go to bed, and then I can stay up for a half hour and watch the first half hour of any movie I want.
Or Battlestar.
Well, I've already seen it twice. It's a big... Okay, so Rubber, thank you.
Rubber would be one. That's a fan. That's a Lee Berger. He was good enough to send that in. I think he'll be very happy because he said his quote was, Sam will go nuts. But Sam did not go nuts.
No, I mean, so. I give the benefit of the doubt to any movie suggestion that is not yours.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. And then the other ones I wanted to suggest, one is two of them, actually. One, just because it was in the news this week, I always think it's fun. If you want to rewatch The Town, that would be very fun, just to see how stupid of a reference that was.
Someone paid attention to politics this week.
Yeah, wow. Thanks, I did. Who is that again?
That's Matt. Now, of course, why don't you tell everybody what you're referencing, because we'll see how deep into the news you got.
I'm referencing the fact that House Republicans use that as a rallying cry, the scene in The Town, after Obama spoke and stuff to rally the troops.
Let's play
but
the
they
clip.
Got the
Let's
scene
play the
wrong.
Clip. We have the clip.
Go ahead.
Well, I only get it. I don't have it ready for you.
Tell
you
me,
gonna...
what is it? What were they trying to rally the troops for? Just to get out of curiosity.
I guess the debt ceiling. Honestly, I haven't paid that much attention to it because I can't be bothered.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
I can't hear it, but I'm assuming Matt's doing his job. Okay.
I need your help. I can't tell you what it is. You can never ask me about it later, and we're going to hurt some people. Whose car are we going to take?
There you go. I'm going to ask you help. You can't tell anybody about it, and I can't tell you later.
And we're going to hurt people.
And we're going to hurt people.
So that's always a fun one to watch. I think that's actually a good movie.
I'd watch even The Town again.
And the other one I wanted you to watch is, you'll probably laugh at me, but The Lincoln Lawyer came out.
Oh, you're fucking kidding me.
Dude, I'm telling you, that's a good movie.
I cannot watch anything that is made by people who think that Matthew McConaughey can carry a movie. I'm sorry.
You can watch it. It's got a great supporting cast with a lot of actual real actors. Bryan Cranston and Marissa Tomei are in it. It's good. It's a good movie. Solid watch. It's kind of like a B-movie.
I don't think so.
Fine. For the listeners out there who have more of an open mind to want to watch something that's kind of good, you can go ahead and do that. Sam, go watch The Town again.
I think Nikki wanted to watch that last week, or we had friends over and they wanted to watch. No way. Never in a million years. You would have to, you literally have to tape my eyes.
Well, maybe Nikki could watch it this weekend then while she's out of town.
Well, she's working. She's actually doing, she's going to the press conference for the opening of.
Somebody in this family has to work.
Changing. Well, you know, changing
the
whatever.
Changeling.
What is that one where the
change up?
Guy,
the change up.
The change up. You know, I saw an ad. I was watching DVR.
That looks a terrible. That looks like a terrible, terrible movie.
Yeah, it looks like a terrible movie. I can't wait for you to sing the praise. I can't wait for you to recommend.
I'm guessing
it
Movie Line will have full coverage of that movie.
Exactly. Is there anything on?
Yes, Mike. We will have full coverage
that?
Of that movie.
I'm sure. What do you mean? What? How? Why do you make that face?
Because who the fuck is Mike?
Who is Mike?
Who is Mike?
Well, who is the guy? Who's talking right now?
There's no Mike here. There never has been a Mike here.
I don't know who this is. I don't know what your name is. I don't give a shit, but I'm just saying. Whoever
wow.
that is talking,
look at Rosen. He's like, he's displaced anger towards me. He's going out
no,
towards
me. No,
not
Matt. Anger towards you. I like you and I know you. I don't know that person, so I don't want him fucking shitting on me.
This is like the.
I mean, this douche is gonna fucking suggest
the
Moon
Jedi
or whatever.
Right?
Moon's like, a great movie.
Yeah, Moon's a good movie, but so is Source Code.
Oh God, Source Code was.
I will say I do have Source Code sitting at my home from Netflix because you recommended it, Chris Rosen.
Thank you.
Now,
so what's your name again? What's his name again?
Now Chris is pouting. He feels bad. Well, you know what? You lose the toot, buddy. Lose the toot.
I have the toot.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, so we got, let me see if I got this right. We got Rubber.
Let's get that. So, and I think it might actually be good. It's definitely going to be weird.
The Lincoln
Who
lawyer.
Is that? Lee Berger. At Lee Berger.
All right.
At Lieberg Tally, excuse me.
Okay.
So good job at a Lieberger.
There you go. All right. Well, Chris, I will get back to you on these. I am going out to L.A. next week.
Oh, yeah? Who are you going to see?
We will try and connect.
Who are you going to see?
I will see the whole gang. I mean, it's Name Drop Friday.
Let me hear some names.
Stay in the show. What's that?
Let me hear some names.
Oh, I don't know. I maybe, you know, when I go out there, I'll say hi to Sarah.
Will you see Marc Maron?
I will see Maron. I will see Sarah Silverman. Probably I'll say hello to
nice.
My friend Charlie. My sister is out there as well. Maybe I'll see Johnny Galecki occasionally. Johnny
nice.
And I hang out when I go out.
Johnny
there.
Galecki, actually, you know what? He was just on Entourage last week, and I'm wondering you could get on Entourage.
No,
you
I couldn't.
Have. You tried?
No. I just I couldn't because I wouldn't try.
Oh.
And then
standards.
Even if I tried, I wouldn't. I couldn't. Never liked that show. Never liked it.
What are you going to do?
All right. Now, Chris, thank you again for joining us. And we're going to
Sam,
play
it's
you.
Always been
we're
fun.
Gonna, we're going to play you out with Jimmy Reefer Kick didn't come up with a news show today.
I'm shocked that a guy named Jimmy Reefer Kick is not reliable.
He didn't come up, but well, he got stung by a bunch of bees.
Is that what he calls it? Sure.
But we're going to play, do you have it?
I have it. 1 second.
Okay. We're going to play it. It's an oldie, but a goodie. And then we're going to go, into the, Screaming Majority offering of this week, which is fantastic. Do we got that Jimmy Reefer Cake?
We have it. Here we go.
Okay. Here it is. It has something to do with pot. You'll notice his voice sounds a little bit smoother. I think this is before he was, back when he was on the evaporator or whatever.
Well, I come home from my day, and I know that I've been a long way. Well, I come home to my home, my home. Smoke a bowl, that's me. Smoke a bowl, that's just me. And I wonder, do I have a problem? Not cocaine. Smoke a bowl.
All right.
That's me.
That's, we'll post that one.
Smoke a bowl.
Let's go, we got that. We're running a little bit late, so let us now hear, ladies and gentlemen, the new song of the week. New song of the week. This is by this is Groveling for Grover. Screaming Mr. Majority.
Grover to do whatever he wants to. The asshole made another pledge to his friend, the Cookie Monster. Grover don't like taxes. He likes those budget axes. Screw the middle class and the poor. The summer Grover cares about more. He likes his cookies. They made a pledge to Grover. Now the Congress fears his wrath. But Grover ought to call the count because he's not too good at math.
I love to count.
Cookie Monster just likes cookies. He can help it if he's lucky. If any of all the rest want some, maybe we can have his chewed up crumbs. Don't tax the cookies. If you want to know whose butt to kiss, it's Cookie Monster, not Snuffleupagus. Move over, Rubber Ducky, move over, Ernie. Grover needs that tub to drown Social Security. It's a test of purity. They made a pledge to Grover. Now the conversation's over. But they're not corporate puppets. No, they're corporate muppets. And they love their cookies.
There it is, folks. The Screaming Majority. Unbelievable. Another winner. Let's hear it. And I gotta say, you know, that Smoke a Bowl song, not so bad. Actually, it was certainly well done.
Jimmy sounded good in that song.
Jimmy sounded good
really
in that song.
Really good.
Yes. Folks, sorry about the lack of Sammy Cam. We will go to the post show, and we'll try and maybe relaunch the Sammy Cam. Yeah?
I'll attempt.
Okay.
I was having lots of problems.
So let's go to the post show. I will take your IMs at Majority FM, and we'll take your calls once we take a whack at the Sammy Cam. Folks, again, if you can become a member to support this program, you can do so at majority.fm. We desperately need your memberships. It's the only real source of revenue we have. And also, go to donateyouraccount.com. You can donate your Twitter account. Allow us to retweet once a day, once a week, or once a month. We promise not to send out crap. And go ahead.
Even if you don't use Twitter, set up a Twitter account, go on the site and donate your account. Even if you have zero followers, it'll still help us get those top tweets where Twitter posts them on their homepage and to the 100,000 people who follow Twitter's top tweets account.
You can do this once, never have to think about it. We never spam. We only use donate your account for disseminating some of the high-quality product from this program. Never will a Chris Rosen segment ever be promoted on Donate Your Account. Never. I promise. That is my promise to you. And folks, you can, of course, support justcoffee.coop. Go there, buy some coffee, tea, or chocolate. We get a cut of everything you buy there. If you use the coupon code MAJORITY, 10% discount. And, of course, we also get a couple of shekels if you use our link at Majority FM to buy your Amazon crap through our link. You won't know the difference, except for you'll just hear a little more bounce in my step. All right, see you on the flip side. You can IM me at Majority FM.